Jim Taylor on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. We stopped by the Viola Library on Monday night and had a chance to visit with Sherrard School District Superintendent Carl Johnson. You're taking your show on the road. You've been traveling the district a little bit. Just speak to us a little bit about kind of the intent and purpose of this.
Thanks, Jim. I think it's important to make sure that we stay connected with the community, make sure that the community knows that we're listening. I'm out there. Come and see me. We always have a sweet treat to literally sweeten the deal a little bit. And as we look towards what do we need in the future, people can feel comfortable coming and having a conversation.
Is there a specific theme? So you've been at multiple locations in terms of what you're hearing from the district, or does it vary from location, I guess?
Not to brag, but usually what we hear is thank you. We hear about the good things that are going on. We'll get some suggestions. We had some suggestions about the old Winola football field that's now the soccer practice facility. There's some things we're going to do there. Some course offering conversations for the high school level. And I had a young lady tonight that attends Winola Elementary talk to me about possibly putting larger garbage cans in the hallway to keep the school looking a little bit neater.
So back to the Winola, home of the Jet football field, what are the possibilities there then? Because I know a lot of people, when they hear that, will say, wait, what?
Just basic maintenance and upkeep. The concession stand, which I would hate to guess how old that actually is, could use some work so that the soccer club can have some more offerings at their Saturday games.
It's interesting when you talk about geography of comparable districts. With Sherrard School District, Rock Ridge School District, Mercer County School District, you talk about a large geographic area. What's the status of transportation right now? I know I think bus drivers are still challenged to find those, but is that still one of the primary issues, and is state reimbursement, is that still kind of a topic of discussion or conversation?
It is. I have to give credit to the governor and the legislature, because with EBF, the evidence-based funding, we have had pretty solid funding in transportation included in that. As far as the challenges, I would say it's always a challenge to, we right now have an amazing crop of bus drivers. They're quite a crew, and they're up early and out late to make sure kids get to where they need to be, and sometimes less than ideal road conditions, but they do a phenomenal job. Having said that, we're always looking for substitutes, and I know there's been a couple drivers that have been with us for quite some time, so we always need to look towards the future to get some folks ready to go.
And then as far as support staff or just teachers in general, how competitive of a field is that in terms of, I guess, finding new hires?
We'll just say the pool is not as deep as it once was. I think there's a variety of reasons why people aren't looking to go into education like they were when I was a young man 182 years ago. But I think that, you know, we're trying everything that we can to make sure that we're an attractive district where people want to come and work with us. I think the contract that we just settled is going to make up a lot of ground in that realm, and just making sure that new teachers know they're going to be supported both by colleagues and administration and also the school board when they come to us. We are working through the teacher vacancy grant. We were selected for the pilot program for that, and we get just under $92,000 a year, and we're trying some things with that to make sure that people, lack of a better term, feel more appreciated. All of our new teachers were able to get some spirit wear through that. We were able to offer some quarterly attendance incentives. We were able to offer a phenomenal amount of tuition reimbursement. So there's just some things that are going to help us, hopefully, attract teachers as we need them.
You're coming off, I know, a building project this year with your elementary school. And I know facilities is always, you know, kind of a front and center, top of mind issue. And especially in these rural school districts where you have large geography. Because a lot of people say, well, where's the money going to be spent, and what building is it going to be spent on? Are there any other significant, you know, facility projects that the school district is looking at right now?
I think the timing, we're not looking at anything huge right now, but through the planning process and the strategic planning that we intend to do within the next 18 months, I think we really need to look at what does the community want, what does the community foresee. I know I have some suggestions as well, but that's why these meetings are so important, so people can come and express their opinions, because we are in each town. So for example, tonight folks could tell us what they think predominantly about Winola, because we're right here in Biola.
I was going to ask you too, what do you think of the stability of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, with like Mercer County coming in and, you know, Sherrard being, I'm not going to say a charter member because the Three Rivers Conference has been there for a while, but the status of being in that league, I mean, is the district pretty content with where they're at in terms of that?
I think so. That's kind of a loaded question, Jim. I'm an old Olympic Conference guy. And
well, we all are.
Lincoln Trail even before that. But I think we're doing some good things there. And football tends to drive the conference. Right now, making sure that everybody has those 9 games in a competitive yet not overly competitive conference. You want to make sure that you've got the right fit. You know, everybody's gearing towards the playoffs. And making sure that the other schools that we're aligned with have all the offerings that we do, so that the kids, no matter what the sport, they can get a good participation experience.
And then the final thing I was going to ask you, because I had a conversation with the outgoing Mercer County School District superintendent about enrollment and where we're kind of at regionally, you know, and he felt pretty good in terms of, I think, the consolidation, what, 13 years in or something like that at Mercer County. Do you think you're at a good place in the Sherrard School District? Because I think people want, you know, it's tough to say we can grow our enrollment. We want to remain, you know, basically a stable enrollment and not lose ground. Where do you think you're at with the Sherrard School District?
Well, the enrollment projections say that it's stable. We're not expecting tremendous growth. We're not expecting a tremendous drop in enrollment. Right now, I think that, you know, the Sherrard housing market, Sherrard School District housing market, is kind of reflective of what we see everywhere in the nation. There's just not enough houses on that market for people to be extremely mobile. We do have some properties in the district, you know, where families can build, but I think as the real estate market goes through its, I'm far from an expert, but it's cyclical changes. I think that, you know, we do have the potential to growth because the potential to grow because our enrollment used to be significantly higher.
And then I was just going to ask you, kind of looking at kind of grade 9 through 12 curriculum offering. And I see, you know, there's been a lot of success with the basically kind of vocational education, where you want to say those type of basically skilled trades where kids can enter the workforce. Do you feel pretty good about, you know, if you want to go to higher education, you can do that. If you want to go to trades, you can do that. I mean, do you think Sherrard's making kind of a concerted effort to look at both of those paths?
I think definitely so. And we, as educators, we have to be looking at that. We're in a unique position because we're close enough to the Quad Cities where we can have some pretty phenomenal offerings and partnerships. For example, former Sherrard board member Todd Anderson with East Moline Glass, we've talked to him a number of times this year, and we're looking to expand the partnerships that we can have so that kids have a path. If they choose not to go to higher education, they can have a path, perhaps even through, you know, a union in skilled labor. That's tremendous. We had a job fair where we had our entire Gym 2 completely filled with potential employers, and I believe every single one of the skilled trades was represented there. And we definitely have moved forward in making sure kids have more than just a college prep offering. In addition to that, we've also added an Ag 3. So we've had Ag 1, Ag 2, now we have Ag 3 because we could not find a replacement Woods teacher. So instead, we were able to get a third Ag teacher, and we can teach some of those skills through the Ag curriculum. And we just have such a phenomenal Ag program to begin with. It's just going to build the numbers for that.
and I was going to ask you from a statewide rural school district standpoint. So I know when I first started covering the beat, like in the 90s, state aid reimbursement was always an issue. The state was always lagging, but that doesn't seem like it's an issue as much as it used to be. So I talked to you about transportation, right? And then kind of workforce, finding teachers, finding support staff. So what are the primary issues in rural education in Illinois? I'm talking about from a rural school district standpoint, and maybe that bleeds over to some of the urban districts too, but what do you think that is right now?
I think honestly it's convincing college graduates to, well, first to major in education and to come into education as a college graduate. It's a tough time right now, I think, in some cases with a little bit of misguided opinion. Public education is colored in a difficult light, and I get to see it every day, and I know I'm biased, but there's some phenomenal things going on there. Teachers have never been more talented, perhaps just as talented, but never more. It's amazing what kids can do if you'll just give them a chance and watch. So I think that if we can just convince enough good people to go into the teaching field, we can perpetuate the great things that happen. But it's always going to be that double-edged sword because, again, we're so close to the Quad Cities that a teacher can leave our small district and go to a much larger district and get a substantial raise in pay. So that's always going to be a challenge.
So it's interesting, a perfect segue from that is law enforcement. So I've seen these local departments, well, specifically Aledo, you know, where they've implemented this sign-on bonus plus a pretty substantial raise. I mean, and I know you school districts are contractually obligated. I get that. But I mean, that's something apparently that a lot of school districts are really going to have to look at if they want to retain staff in rural districts that basically abut or are contiguous to the larger school districts.
Yes, we're able to do some of that, not necessarily the sign-on bonus, but we're able to do that by providing a significant amount of support for continuing your education, which ultimately raises you on the salary scale. So it's a similar concept, but again, I think that's something that most schools are probably going to have to look at, you know, what is a signing bonus? I started in 1995. I could not have defined what is a signing bonus other than congratulations, you got the job. But again, as you said, we're going to have to look at some different methods.
All right. Good to see you, sir.
Great talking with you. Thank you.
All right. They call them Conversations with Carl, and they're having one at the Viola Public Library. I'm Jim Taylor.